Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. The Reverend Robert Zagore is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Revelation chapter 15. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing. Seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last. For with them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire. Those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O kings of the nations, who will not fear, O Lord, in the glory of your name. For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this I looked, and the sanctuary tent of witness in heaven was opened. And out of the sanctuary came the seven angels with the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, with golden sashes around their chests. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the sanctuary was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. No one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. This is the word of the Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Revelation 15 is part of a sweep of five chapters together that are really almost impossible to understand separately. We often do ourselves a disservice when we read the scripture because we take every word so seriously that we want to study it incrementally in verses or half verses or even chapters, segmented away from its whole understanding. And there are parts of books, especially this book, this chapter, this place, that makes that very difficult to do with proper understanding. To begin with, John is changing the entire way that he writes as he does this. He suddenly slips into almost a competing meter. Allos and dactyls and pentyls and things start swimming around, almost looking like a strand of DNA interweaving. And it's like the language of heaven and the language of earth are intermixing here, and we need to understand it that way. And at the end of the long reign of the beast and his allies, which had plagued the earth, the children of God are now seeing the beginning of their victory, yet the beginning of their victory looks very much like the end of the earth. And as a matter of fact, it is. But the end of the earth in such a way that even the children of God aren't necessarily spared what's to come. They too need to stand in the midst of it and watch, as we find in the next chapter, the slain mounting up as the angels of God take a scythe and reap those on the earth. I'm going to leave for other preachers the description of what that sounds like and what that looks like as we go into it in the next chapter. But it's important to understand that you're not looking at this by itself. This isn't God simply celebrating His victory and all of heaven saying, yes, indeed, finally you're going to crush the heads of our enemies. You're going to stand on the throats of those who oppose us. We are victorious no matter what else happens. And that's the way that you often see it written and preached. Now, our victory is the victory of David seeing the defeat of Absalom and crying for his son. It's important to understand that. But it's also important to understand this is the only way that victory comes. As the Lord talks about victory in the midst of this, did you notice where the angels came from who held the seven last bowls? The seven last plagues that were going to trouble the earth, that were finally going to end God's wrath and bring victory for His people, they came from out of the tabernacle, out of the Holy of Holies, away from the mercy seat, away from the Ark of the Covenant. What it was doing in heaven, who knew? But yet, in earlier chapters, we found that it was there. And it's a good thing that the reality of the place of salvation that all the people of ancient Israel knew about was not kept here on earth for us to behold and to worship and make an idol of, because we messed things up. Even while we had these things here on earth, and I'm not claiming that there was a heavenly replica or anything else, don't take me there. Even while we had these things on earth, we did very poorly with them. The heroes of our faith are heroes only because they had faith and the Lord saved them. If you think about it, the Ark of the Covenant, which is the place where they left taking the golden bowls, was the hope of the world. God had promised that the salvation and the hopes of the world were in a tiny box carried by priests of some distant nation that nobody really heard about. The nation about God, whom God said, I didn't pick you because you were the greatest. I picked you because you were the smallest. I didn't pick you because you were the wisest. I picked you because you were the least. And these priests, these holy ones, even as they marched it into war, thinking it an amulet of victory, lost the sense of what it was and even lost the box itself. And then when carrying it back from its captivity in the Philistines, instead of marching it in honor and glory the way that the Lord had commanded when He commanded its building, they put it on an ox cart and bounced it around through the countryside, never really recognizing what was inside. But that's the history of the people of God, isn't it? Never recognizing what it is that they have in their very hands or right before them. Abraham, as he went through Egypt twice, disregarded the promise of God that from your seed, through Sarah, the great hombre of that seed, that salvation for all the world would be held. And he gave her to another man out of fear, the king of Egypt, twice, never learning, never beholding, never understanding. Jacob, who had been given the greatest promises in the world by grace, decided that he needed to take those same promises by theft. We mess it up continually. If salvation is left up to us, salvation is abandoned. If salvation is left up to us, even in these days, where we fail to preach the truth of God's Word, where it's just as likely in church that you're going to find somebody proclaiming something horrible and despicable in the name of Jesus. And I'm not talking about LCMS churches alone here. I'm talking about things that pass as church throughout the world. There are so many false prophets. I can't count the number of times that I've heard a sermon that didn't even bother to mention Jesus. They think the hope of the world is left up to us. And hope that's put in you and me is no hope at all. And that's the point of Revelation 15, 14, 16. Expanding out, as I said, this is a sweep of five chapters. Hope that's placed in us is no hope at all, but God is at work. And hope that's based on our understanding or perception of what's going on with the events around us is no hope at all. Just as the hope of Israel was in Joseph as he was in an underground prison in Egypt. When it looked like all things were going wrong. When it looked like even his life was to be forfeit. Just like the hope of the world was on a cross in Jerusalem, dying, crying out about being forsaken, with all of his disciples abandoning him, and those who were sent to forgive his sins as he hung there on his death, those sacredly vested men of God who were the church in that day, instead of offering forgiveness, belittled, joked, laughed at their only hope. This world has only one Savior, and it needs sometimes to be rocked from the foundations of comfort and peace. Even though the Lord would give it eternally to all of those who love Him, we try to grab it here and make our brothers supply it for us, make our sisters deliver it to us, use their bodies, their minds, their talents, their labors for our pleasure. We try to accumulate treasures, and those treasures end up controlling us, filling our minds and our fancies, and they will all be dashed, just like the calf in the desert. They will all be dashed because they consume the people God loves. But remember, O children of God, it's His will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Remember, O children of God, first this gospel of mine must be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. Remember, O children of God, for God so loved the world, in the midst of a place which is proving over and over again that it cannot save itself, there's a word of hope. In the midst of those pristine angels who carry the bowls of plague out into the world, there's a light that shines. And it's through those failed people and those failed messengers that God speaks the greatest hope in the history of the world. Just as He brought it forth in a tiny little box among a failed people, or through Abraham and his seed forever, or through Jacob and his line, or through Mary and Joseph as they wandered down toward Egypt with a child in their arms. The plagues in this world will be here till the end. But the hope of the world, however small it may appear to us here, is great and marvelous. Behold, a great sign in heaven, which talks about all that's being done for your salvation. Behold, a great sign in heaven. The Son of God, once dead, is risen for you and bears the marks of your sin, your salvation, in His flesh even to this day. He is the Ark of the Covenant. He is the tabernacle. He is the hope of the world and the certainty of our rescue. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the Minnesota North District and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for Chaplain Jeremy Gorline, who is deployed. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.